Jesus' disciples asked him what would be the signs of his return and the end of the age. His response is recorded in Matthew 24 as one of the most detailed prophecies given by Jesus. Through the ages, many have claimed that the end of the world is upon us and proved to be wrong. Some of the important details of the Olivet prophecy have only been made possible in the last few decades. These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Well, good morning. Over the years, there's been many times where people actually thought it was the end of the world. Right now, there is a renewed interest in this entire subject that has been sort of spawned by the Left Behind series of novels and movies that have come out, where those two authors give sort of their viewpoint on what the end of the world is going to be like and what the Bible means by the Great Tribulation and the return of Jesus Christ. People are interested in it. There's a great debate. Theologians, scholars, evangelicals, fundamentalists, preterists, even science fiction buffs get in the mix. I received a letter recently from someone who had come to the conclusion that many of the things that happen in the book of Revelation are actually caused by aliens who come and attack the earth. This renewed interest, of course, has happened throughout history. There was a time during the Middle Ages with the bubonic plague and all kinds of wars that were just ripping Europe apart. Many people thought it was the end of the world. Many people believe that this was it. This was the beginning of the tribulation. Of course, you had between 25 and 30% of the entire population of Europe die. They thought it was the end of the world. Here in the United States, in the 1840s, there was a large movement, the beginning of the Adventist movement, where people believed that Jesus was coming back in the 1840s. And there was a point in time where tens of thousands of people sat on the tops of the roofs of their houses thinking that Jesus was coming back that night. And he didn't. There were people that during the darkest days of World War II, after the Great Depression, you had Nazism taking over. It looked like they were going to conquer the world between Nazi Germany and the fascist government that was in Japan. It appeared that the world was going to be crushed under this cloud of evil, and many people thought, it is the end of the world. And now it's 60 years later, and time goes on. We're still here. Christians are still waiting and still wondering. It's interesting that in all this renewed interest in the book of Revelation, in the prophecies concerning the coming of Christ, the tribulation, the time of the end, as it is called, there's also a great skepticism that many people have. In fact, only 36%, according to Newsweek, only 36% of the people in the United States actually believe that the book of Revelation contains prophecies concerning the future. That's only a little over a third of people. Now, 47% believe that it's metaphorical, that it's just filled with metaphors and has no real prophetic meaning at all. Others believe that the book of Revelation has already all been fulfilled, except for maybe a few prophecies at the end of the book. Skeptics say, yes, yes, yes. Christians talk about the time of the end where there'll be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and pestilences. And it is great stuff for movies. But skeptics say, it's always been that way. World War I was a terrible, terrible war. Millions died. Afterwards, there was a flu epidemic that killed millions more all over the world. But the world survived. World War II, the world survived. Others claim, hey, the world today is better than it's been in years. And yet when you look around, there's something terribly wrong in the world that we live in. How do we know what events will happen that'll let us know that it is the time of the end? Because if you look at the prophecies in the Bible, it is obvious that the Messiah is going to come back, and the Messiah is going to establish his Father's kingdom on this earth, and there's going to be some terrible times happen, terrible things happen in humanity before that time. How do we know if we're approaching that time? What I want to do here this morning is I want to explore Jesus' Olivet prophecy, and I want to look at three things he talks about in that prophecy. I don't want to go through all the details of it. I just want to look at three things he talks about, three aspects of the Olivet prophecy. Because what's so interesting about these three aspects of that prophecy is these three things could have never been fulfilled in the history of humanity until the last couple of decades. Jesus prophesied some things that couldn't have happened in the 14th century. He prophesied some things that couldn't have happened in the 1840s when the great disappointment happened, when so many people waited for Jesus and he didn't come back. It couldn't have happened in World War I. It couldn't have happened in World War II. But it can happen now. So let's look at the Olivet prophecy. Let's turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. This prophecy has been read and reread, studied and restudied, discussed over and over again, because it is the most complete passage given by Jesus himself concerning his second coming and the events that would happen beforehand. What's interesting about this prophecy is that, like so many prophecies in the Bible, it has what is commonly called a former and latter fulfillment. In other words, the prophecy happened in, now what we consider history, it happened in a limited way, but it is not, it doesn't happen in its completion until sometime in the future. Because these people that he spoke to lived through a limited fulfillment of this prophecy. The things he told them would happen happened in a very limited way in 70 AD. Because he's talking to a Jewish audience, and he's talking about a destruction of society. And in 70 AD, the Roman armies marched into Jerusalem and burned it to the ground. And over a million people died. But if we look at certain aspects of this prophecy, we realize that it wasn't completely fulfilled in 70 AD. There are things that for this to happen in its complete form, there are things that couldn't happen then. And they were things that couldn't have happened over the last 2,000 years. But they are things that could happen today.
For thousands of years, people have been fascinated with predictions of the end of the world. Jesus Christ spoke of a future time so horrendous that no human beings would be spared unless those days were shortened. Did he have our time in mind? The eye-opening booklet, Are We Living in the Time of the End?, examines exactly what Jesus Christ, his apostles, and the biblical prophets of old really said about the intriguing days they refer to as the time of the end. You don't want to miss out on this valuable information. Call 1-800-966-9232. There is no cost or obligation. The material is absolutely free, provided as an educational service in the public interest. So please call 1-800-966-9232 for your free booklet. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
So let's look at what Jesus told his disciples. Let's start in verse 3. I'm going to read through here the first part of this, and then I want to once again zero in on one point. We're not going to go through all the various aspects of what Jesus is teaching here, but I want to zero in on one point in this section. Verse 3 says, Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. So they're specifically saying, what is going to happen before you come and the end of the age? Now we're still waiting for Jesus to come. So many of the things he told them have yet to be fulfilled. And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. So the first thing he tells them is that there's going to be a great false understanding about who Jesus Christ is as the Son of the living God. He says, And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. And all these are just the beginning of sorrows. He talks about in verses 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 and 13, he talks about how his followers will be persecuted and they will be hated. But then verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Now, there's always been wars and rumors of wars, and there's always been pestilences, and there's always been diseases, and there's always been earthquakes. Although, before the end, all these things will just get worse. Until they culminate, they will culminate and bring humanity to the very edge of destruction. But he says here that the gospel would be preached to all the ends of the earth. Jesus told his disciples, "You go out and you preach the gospel." They went out, and they made other disciples, and they made other disciples, and they preached the gospel. And in the 100 years after the death of Jesus Christ, they had reached many ends, or the farthest ends of the Roman Empire. And the world still had not had the gospel preached to it. Most of humanity had never even heard the gospel message. Many people inside the Roman Empire, of course, hadn't heard it either. The gospel message was spread by foot. People went places, and they talked. It wasn't until the end of the Middle Ages that the Bible became available to the common person. I mean, in the first century, you had to go to a synagogue to have the scrolls opened up. And then they had the letters and what we call the New Testament. And they began to collect those and make copies of them. The church began to get scrolls and they began to keep those. The average person did not have a Bible to read. If you were very wealthy, maybe you owned one part of the Bible, to own maybe Isaiah. If you were part of the New Testament church, your congregation may have some scrolls and you may have the writings of Paul and you may have the gospel accounts, and they're read and they're taken care of in your congregation, but the average person did not have them. In fact, if you look at what happened in the Roman Empire in the 2nd century and the 3rd century, the gospel message almost died out. It was just a flicker in that dark world. And then you look at what happened in the Middle Ages, and you really study what happened in the Middle Ages, Christianity became a very dark religion. The Inquisition, the things that were done in the name of Jesus Christ, the gospel was a flicker. He never went to the whole world. And until the Bible was made available, those first copies that began to appear in German and then English in Europe, it wasn't even possible to preach the gospel to the world. And then it's only been the last 70 or 80 years that there has been the electronic means to reach the world with the gospel. It is now possible to reach people in a small village in China that a missionary never got to. No one's ever been there. You know why? They have computers and they get on the internet. That could not have ever been fulfilled in history before. There was no way to get the gospel to the world. Now, if you're a student of the book of Revelation, you know that part of that is going to be fulfilled by two individuals that will come in the future called the two witnesses, that the whole world will see and they will spread the message. But even now, the beginning of that is happening. People are being able to have Bibles. People are able to hear the truth in numbers that the Apostle Paul never dreamed of. And so we have a little element of this prophecy that could never have happened in the past. It's only been recently, in the last 100 years, that was even conceivable. Now let's look at a second point. Let's skip down to verse 21. We'll go back and read the other verses in a minute, but I want to skip down to verse 21 because this gives us a context of what Jesus is talking about. In verse 21, he says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." That's a remarkable statement if you study history. In 70 AD, according to contemporary accounts, about 1 million people died in Jerusalem, starved to death. It was a terrible time. Cannibalism became not common, but people started to cannibalize under the siege. Eventually the Romans came in. Those who weren't killed in battle, many were crucified. But then you start to look at other things in history. I mentioned the Middle Ages with the bubonic plague. Tens of millions died. The Hundred Years' War. It's called the Hundred Years' War because it was fought for 100 years. World War I, 14 to 15 million people died. Do you realize in Stalinist Russia, the communists killed 20 million of their own people? 20 million of their own people that ended up in gulags in Siberia or were just outright shot. And then in all of history, there's been nothing like what happened in World War II. The Holocaust. And we look at the fact that 6 million Jews were killed in the concentration camps. There was at least another 5 million people killed in the concentration camps that weren't Jews. There were 50 million people that died in World War II. Over 1,200,000 people died in Leningrad alone during the Battle of Leningrad. And during that siege, many of them were women and children who starved to death. The catastrophes are so enormous, even those who lived through it have no idea what was happening on that global scale. And yet Jesus said here, this time is going to be worse than anything that ever happened before it, and there'll be nothing like it afterwards. That statement alone means that Matthew 24 has not yet been fulfilled. Jesus' Olivet prophecy has not yet happened, except in that limited way in 70 AD. And there is a time coming that is so terrible, it is beyond our imagination. And this is the important verse here in verse 22. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. You know, I don't care how big an army was armed with spears and swords. They couldn't kill everybody on the face of the earth. I don't care what disease you let loose naturally all through history. And there's been diseases that have killed large populations. It couldn't kill everybody. The earth is, nature is designed by God to protect humanity. Diseases run courses and die off. You could arm men with flintlock rifles, and you couldn't kill everybody. So you arm them with machine guns and tanks and 1,000-pound bombs, and you still can't kill everybody. There's just a limited amount of resources that that level of war will absorb until it absorbs all of its resources. You cannot create disease epidemics in a natural sense or even warfare that would fulfill this until the 1950s. Because in the 1950s, between the United States and the Soviet Union, between the 1950s and 60s and 70s, we built enough nuclear weapons to kill every living thing on the face of the earth about 50 times. That doesn't include the biological weapons that have been created and are now available on a massive scale. Bubonic plague is one of the things, or one of the biological weapons, that have actually been developed. It is amazing what was developed in the Soviet Union under the time of the communists. And no one even knows what happened to some of those things. Here's a scripture that is mentioned by Christ, a prophecy by Christ, that has had no time in history when it could be fulfilled. Now, if you lived in Central Europe in the 14th century, you would have thought it could have been fulfilled. Of course, you didn't realize that nobody in Japan was dying from the bubonic plague. You couldn't realize that this was just a local event. I mean, it was massive, but it was still a local event, just like what happened to the Jews in 70 AD was massive, but it was still a local event. Jesus says here that this event is so terrible that unless he comes back, nobody lives. That has never been possible before. It is now. It is now. And you know, some of you will remember 20 and 30 years ago when the thought of nuclear war was frightening. It seemed real. We don't think about it much anymore, do we? You think they dismantled all those bombs? We actually live in a more dangerous world than we lived 20, 40 years ago. Because it's unpredictable. One thing 9/11 taught us, it is unpredictable. You don't know what can happen tomorrow. I don't mean that to be another just a predictor of gloom and doom. But it is obvious that there are things that Jesus said that could have never happened before. Are we in the time of the end? Well, the world's not going to end today. So we can take a deep breath and feel okay. Okay, it's not going to end today. But these things could have never happened before, and they can now.
Where in the world are we headed? Can we know? Can we know what lies ahead? Where are world conditions and trends taking us? Does Bible prophecy tell us what we should expect in the coming months and years? The answer is yes. Many Bible prophecies are quite clear that increasingly cataclysmic events will occur on this earth before God's direct intervention. You can know these answers. The publishers of the Good News magazine would like to send you an absolutely free booklet concerning biblical prophecies of these end times. Request your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End? Call 1-800-966-9232. This material is provided free as a public service by the sponsors of this radio program. Understanding end time Bible prophecy is possible. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End?
One other point I want to bring out here, and that's in verse 15. He's talking about a passage from the book of Daniel. We won't go there and discuss that because, once again, I just want to zero in on one point. He says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, Whoever reads, let him understand. He says, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. He says, whenever you see, and you go back to Daniel and you see it has to do with the worship of pagan idols, has to do with armies surrounding Jerusalem. And what you have here, he says, those in Judea are to flee when you see this in the holy place. Now, the holy place is the temple. Ancient Israel was told to build a temple to worship God in Jerusalem. Solomon built a temple. And of course, it was destroyed, and it was rebuilt by Zerubbabel, and then Herod redesigned the whole thing. So at the time of Jesus, you had a beautiful temple there. These people who he wrote to, the people that Jesus was talking to, knew what the holy place was. It was the temple. Now in 70 AD, that temple was destroyed. So we have this prophecy that says, well, when you see this set up in the holy place, you know, get out. If you're in Judea, get out. But there's no temple. And you know, in the 14th century, there was no temple. And there couldn't be a temple. There was no Jewish presence in Jerusalem that could build a temple. And then in the 1840s, when people all over the United States went to their rooftops and waited for Jesus to come back, there was no temple. There was no temple during World War II. There's no temple now. But in 1948, the possibility of a temple became real. Because in 1948, the nation of Israel was established. And from that moment on, people began to plan to rebuild the temple. Just go on the internet and look up Temple Mount Institute. There are people in Israel that have studied people's genealogies, and they have a Levitical priesthood selected. They have studied the rituals that they were supposed to do in the Old Testament. They know what kind of animals are to be used. They have recreated the high priest clothing, and they are waiting for the opportunity to reestablish some kind of temple in Jerusalem. Now, I don't know what kind of temple it will be. You know, it doesn't have to be on the scale of Solomon's temple or Herod's temple, but there is going to be a temple, some sort of temple rebuilt in Jerusalem. That was not possible to a little over 50 years ago. It is possible today. And so there's another element of this prophecy that has never been possible to now. And there are people who are trying to go about to do this. So we can see just from this brief looking at Matthew 24, the Olivet prophecy, that there are three important elements of this prophecy that could not have happened any other time in history and yet can happen now, which we need to be aware of and we need to be looking for. We need to be looking for the preaching of the gospel to the world and involved in it. We need to be aware of world events in the context of the ability to annihilate humanity. Now the concept of wars and rumors of wars takes on a little different viewpoint. Not just wars and rumors of wars in the normal sense, but wars and rumors of war that's propelling humanity towards massive destruction. And then we need to look for the reconstruction of some kind of temple in Jerusalem. Last part of the book of Daniel, Daniel is told to prophesy that there will be sacrifices made in Jerusalem before the end, and they will stop. For there to be sacrifices, there must be some temple, some form of edifice. It can be a tent. Remember, the first temple was a tabernacle that the Israelites carried around with them. But it is now possible. That was not possible over the last 2,000 years. It now is. So we need to look for those things, anticipate those things, and realize as we watch those things happen that we are now on the cuspice. We are on the edge of the time of the end. Let's just finish up in Matthew 24 here with some good news. Okay, now I guess we've been going through the bad news. Let's go through some good news here. Because the time of the end isn't the destruction of the world. You know, just some kind of massive destruction and humanity is destroyed. Jesus said, I will come back before that happens. That's the great promise. God says, I'm not going to let my children destroy themselves. He's going to let us get right up to the edge, so we have no more solutions, so we can never blame God. If you'd have given us a little more time, we'd have figured it out. He lets us go up to the edge and then says, okay, folks, it's enough. And he sends his son back to start fixing this mess. And that's why, in verse 29, Jesus says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The whole world will see this. This is a massive event that all humanity sees. Verse 31 says, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. There's coming a time, and humanity is hurtling towards that time. And it is never good for Christians to try to set up exact knowledge of when Jesus Christ is going to come back, because nobody knows. But it is important to understand that there are things that are going to happen that we need to look for. And Jesus tells us there, we've just looked at three things that could have never have happened in history before, but are possible right now. And some of these things are mentioned in your headlines of your newspaper every day. The good news is Jesus is coming back, not this time as a baby in a manger, but he's coming back this time in power and glory as the Son of God and King of Kings to establish his Father's kingdom on this earth.
For thousands of years, people have been fascinated with predictions of the end of the world. Jesus Christ spoke of a future time so horrendous that no human beings would be spared unless those days were shortened. Did he have our time in mind? The eye-opening booklet, Are We Living in the Time of the End?, examines exactly what Jesus Christ, his apostles, and the biblical prophets of old really said about the intriguing days they refer to as the time of the end. You don't want to miss out on this valuable information. Call 1-800-966-9232. There is no cost or obligation. The material is absolutely free, provided as an educational service in the public interest. So please call 1-800-966-9232 for your free booklet. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.